Hey, Will, I was wondering, is emotional intelligence something that I'm born with, or is it something that can be taught? I've been reading up on it a little bit lately and was just wondering. Thanks.
So is it something that you're born with, or is it something that can be taught? And that leads us into the topic of emotional intelligence, or EQ, as some would say. So let me just read. I got some things for reference. I just wanted to share some things with you, but I also wanted to throw in some of my personal insight with it. First it says here, your EQ is the level of your ability to understand other people, what motivates them, how to work cooperatively with them, quote unquote. So I took some info from Daniel Goleman. He's a psychologist. He's the one who kind of started this whole emotional intelligence kick. I think it was back in the 90s, and I just used him as reference through this. And some of the details here that I'm sharing are going to be they're also on the description of the episode. To start, there are five categories. There are five core, we'll call it core competencies. And I say this because, my fault. Five core competencies that have to do with emotional intelligence and the development of it. The first one, of course, is self-awareness. The second one is self-regulation. The third is motivation. The fourth is empathy. And the fifth is social skills. So I've got these categories listed out. I've got some descriptions. I've got a little bit of examples that go along with them. But, you know, what I want to share is that I guess as we go through this, we'll get to see what we're born with and what we can learn as far as developing or enhancing or nurturing our emotional intelligence. I'll put this stuff down on the episode description, just so in case there's something you want to refer back to, you can. Or you can do it like this last listener follower. Drop me a line through the app and you just ask me a question just straight up. I'm happy to clarify. One thing I did want to get to, and I'll try to remember. Somebody asked me about the icon, the photo icon, the little clip art for the podcast, excuse me. And I'd like to touch on that too near the end. So remind me, okay? Thank you. The emotional competence framework is outlined by Dr. Goleman. You know, they're pretty straightforward. I mean, the straightforwardness of it, I think, makes it difficult because we try to, we may try to think too much about these certain topics when we try to complicate them when we don't need to. We may try to, just over-explain. I think they're pretty simple. I also think you can expand as much as you want. But I think you can do that with any topic. So we'll start with number one, self-awareness. And, self-awareness has a lot to do with emotional awareness and self-confidence. The little snippet here says knowing one's internal states, preferences, resources, and intuitions, recognizing one's emotions and their effects, knowing one's strengths and limits, and a strong sense of one's self-worth and capabilities. So, you know, self-awareness has a lot to do with the recognition of what's happening to you in the moment, emotionally and mentally. Usually that awareness, when it's coupled here in this segment, it's coupled with self-confidence. You're usually aware of how confident you might be in a certain situation. So let's give us a scenario. Let's give us a topic. We'll say it's a first date. First date, self-awareness. Never met this person. If you're like, I guess the what's happening now is a lot of online stuff, a lot of meeting through apps, through dating apps online, which is fine. I mean, that's one way to get things going. And let's say you finally set something up for a first date. You're at the meeting place. It's your favorite pizza shop. If you're like me, you're a nervous wreck. So one thing I would need to be aware of is my nerves. So definitely my nerves have a lot to do with what one of these subcategories in self-awareness touch on is self-confidence. So, you know, if I'm a little too anxious about that moment, I need to be aware of it, and I need to understand, you know, what my anxiousness or nervousness does for me in this situation. And it could influence my self-confidence. It definitely could. You know, the key to this is knowing one's internal states, preferences, resources, and intuitions. So intuitively, I know it's like it's going to be nerve-wracking or anxiety-provoking, and I have to understand that comes up for me with all new situations. That comes up for me with you know, situations or experiences that I may not have had before. And again, that doesn't mean that the strength of the anxiety hits me the same each time. It just means it's there. I mean, it's very normal. One thing I want to share about this is it should teach you a lot about yourself, becoming self-aware. That's part one. And part two is self-regulation. Keep in mind the dating scenario. So it says here, self-regulation, managing one's internal impulses and resources. Underneath self-regulation, there's a couple of concepts: self-control, trustworthiness, conscientiousness, adaptability, innovation. Cool. This little clip says, keeping disruptive emotions and impulses in check, maintaining standards of honesty and integrity, taking the responsibility for personal performance, flexibility in handling change, and being comfortable with novel ideas, approaches, and new information. So self-regulation, and we'll look at this, we'll look at the concept of this first date. We already acknowledged in my self-awareness I'm a nervous wreck. So what do I want to do next here? Self-regulate. That goes through this mental process of talking myself down. That's the self-control. That's the adaptability. That's the conscientiousness that the self-regulation topic has within it. It says here, keeping disruptive emotions and impulses in check. Most of you who know me, you might know me, you might not know me. So let's pretend like you don't know me. You may experience my anxiety as a very much hyperverbal, verbose, talkative, I don't know, just doesn't shut up kind of an experience. And that's me with my own, self-awareness. I gotta keep it cool. I gotta calm it down. I know the nervous chit chat for me kind of that like calms me down. That gives me a sense of being able to express the inner monologue in my mind. Hopefully it's appropriate. It's appropriate, which is something that I have been working on and do work on. That definitely helps me self-soothe. So becoming impulsively talkative is something I need to practice some self-control with. Now, here the trustworthiness under self-regulation, you know, that has to do with it says maintaining its standards of integrity and honesty. That's like, you know, you're nervous. That's like labeling it. That's like saying you're there. You're like, hey, I'm nervous and I talk a lot. So, you know, when I do that, you know, feel free to just, you know, give me a sign or just let me know like, hey, it's cool, calm down. Or, you know, just if you want to interject, please feel free to interject. And I'll let somebody know. And that kind of honesty, integrity, that's like me being me. That's like me labeling like what I am, who I am in that moment. What I used to do was say, oh, sorry, I talk so much. You know, we're kind of done saying sorry, being ourselves. I'll just put that out there. That's who you are in the moment as an anxious person. That's who I was. That's who I am. Really, you know, really not going to apologize too much about the way that I am. And that's not in a, that's not meant to be like rude or that's not meant to be, I guess, disrespectful in any way, because it has a lot to do with this conscientiousness, taking responsibility for personal performance. And that's definitely in the self-regulation topic. You know, I'm going to take responsibility for being a, you know, chatterbox here and not giving you the space to share. Flexibility under self-regulation, like you want to be able to practice flexibility. The world is this beautiful gray. And I know some of us might think like, wow, gray, so gloomy. Not so much. When we're thinking about the extremes of black and white thinking, we definitely want to be in the gray. And it takes time. It takes growth. It takes experience to really harness or really sit in the gray, because that's going to be important. It's going to be really important. Innovation here, it says being comfortable with novel ideas, approaches, information. First date, it's a pizza shop. So I love pizza. So first date pizza shop, they're all out of the world famous, buffalo chicken pizza. I have no adaptability, so I'm kind of bent out of shape. I'm not conscientious, so I'm not taking personal responsibility for now being in a mood that my favorite pizza is not there. My trustworthiness here, the standards of honesty and integrity, that gets checked because I'm trying to play it cool, but I'm not. And then the self-control, keeping disruptive emotions or impulses in check. Now I'm all hot and bothered, and I'm not becoming aware enough, which is the first concept. And, you know, that's how my emotional intelligence gets skewed. Now, understand this. These are all building blocks. Each topic builds on itself. And you have to have the first one, self-awareness. I'm going to say you have to, because that's kind of how it's worked in here. Because you can't really find the next couple concepts within you if you're not aware of what's happening to you. So self-awareness leads you into self-regulation. The next one, number three, motivation. Motivation here. It says here, emotional tendencies that guide or facilitate reaching goals. There are four little bullet points here under motivation: achievement, drive, commitment, initiative, optimism. Now, the motivation here, let's say it's the first date experience, an example. Self-awareness, I'm nervous. Self-regulation, keep it cool. Motivation, I'm nervous, but I'm aware. I got to keep it cool. Watch my impulses, because I want to have the insight to be motivated, to feel motivated, and think that I can pursue another date, despite what my nervousness is telling me that it's all wrong. And oh, by the way, when I'm nervous, I sweat, and then I'm like self-conscious about that, and then I'm like, oh God. So, so here. The motivation topic, after it's built on the foundation of self-awareness and self-regulation, that needs to tell me that, or it needs to help me to tell me that I could keep going. I could keep pursuing the next thing for myself. That's achievement drive. That's commitment. That's initiative. And that's optimism. And that's why earlier in self-regulation, you talk about, or I talked about, and you address living in the gray. The optimism and motivation can't be accessed if we're living in the black and white. If I'm going to label this experience as a negative one, or it's not going well, my optimism really gets sort of clouded. And then that definitely does a number on my motivation. So this is kind of where the motivation concept in emotional intelligence has a lot to do with the first two. They all do. They all coincide with each other. They all need their building blocks. But if I don't recognize my nerves on this first date experience, I can't get to these places. I can't build on it. My motivation to continue with the dating scene drops. So here it says here, striving to improve or meet the standard of excellence. Now, I guess, who knows what the excellence of dating is? That's where you got to check yourself and give yourself some reasonable goals, which is the next one, aligning with goals of the group or organization. Now, here the group, like this is your dating situation. You know, your goals for it have to be realistic. You can't hit home runs every time, unfortunately. That's not realistic. Imagine if you have such a high expectation for such a pleasant outcome, it doesn't work out. You know, that definitely messes with your motivation to try again. You could tickle the self-regulation and you can get rather grumpy. And then of course, you know, your self-awareness goes right out the window. But that's where sort of the motivation comes in here. And in my opinion, you know, readiness to take action on opportunities. In motivation, it says here, taking initiative. You know, you can't really have that without making a commitment to yourself to pursue despite the obstacles. And that can't really happen if you don't have the, let's say, reasonable standard to achieve. And let's say on this first date experience, you could really mess with my optimism of having a greater desire to continue this whole dating process for myself. Next. Empathy. Oh boy. Empathy is a high critical skill. I think people can gain some understanding, but I have this technique that sometimes I use with clients, and I use it mostly in the group format, and I get surprised how well it works, but I can't be too surprised because I have a lot of confidence in it. And I think a lot of my self-imposed confidence in the intervention creates that space for my clients to really feel it and understand what empathy is. I call it the jacket of empathy. It's a group exercise, and people will partner up and have one of the partners share about their week. That partner usually starts off with a jacket. They share about the week. I say, give me, you know, some thoughts and feelings about the last week. They do it. Then I say, okay, great. Take the jacket off. Hand it to your partner. I tell the partner, I said, try that on for size. My approach is experiential. So my methods have a lot to do with action and a lot to do with actually doing something. So when I share that topic, share that insight, and I go, try that on for size, I really try to get my client to understand that they're trying on those thoughts, they're trying on those feelings so that they can gain that empathy, that understanding of what that other person may have been through the last week. And that's kind of what I'd like to share with you all, is having the emotional intelligence concept here, having the idea of empathy be a big part of it, has a lot to do with understanding the other. So we're on a date, and it's the pizza shop scenario. What could help my self-awareness, my self-regulation, my motivation is empathy, is gaining understanding that maybe the other person might be just as nervous or somewhat nervous. That in itself helps really like neutralize that experience, because if you're like me, from time to time, you'll get to this place where I think I'm the only one feeling that nervous about the situation. And you know what? Some people do and they're like, meh, whatever. And some people do and they really lean into it as well. And some people don't. Some people feel very confident. And again, speaking to the level of confidence, you're going to feel the anxiousness. It's just the way people let themselves feel it is the biggest difference in terms of how to manage emotions. Everyone feels it. It's just a matter of how you manage it. So the empathy has a couple concepts underneath it. It says understanding others, developing a sense for others, service orientation, leveraging diversity, political awareness is under this for Goleman. But let me read some of these. It says here, understanding others, sensing others' feelings and perspectives, taking an active interest in their concerns. Now, key factor here for this scenario and empathy, I'll share this with you guys. It's a skill of, I'll say, curiosity. We'll call it that. I'm like a very curious person. I like to know why. I like to know why you do things, how you do them. You know, it could be a complex answer. It could be a simple answer. And that's always been my thing. Always, always, always. That's always been a part of me. I remember my mom would share about stories about me growing up, where I'd like take apart things. She has a recollection. I took apart a VCR, then of course didn't know how to put it back together. So I didn't, they obviously were very upset. And a VCR is like an apparatus that played video VHS tapes for some of you out there. God. Anyways, took it apart, didn't put it back together, got busted. But that's like my curiosity has always been a part of my personality. So in the empathy section here for emotional intelligence, to nurture it, I would suggest is working on this curious side of yourself. For me, it helped really dial down that nervous chatter, and it really helped me understand to sit back with my own feelings, be aware of them, understand them, the motivation then to sit through all those thoughts and feelings was to be curious, which then created that empathy. So how are you? How's your day? How are things? What's been happening? You know, understanding, empathy, curiosity. Because a couple of these say, sensing others' development needs and bolstering their abilities, anticipating, recognizing, and meeting others' needs, cultivating opportunities through different kinds of people's and experiences. Being curious helps a lot. Being curious helps develop this empathy for you in this regard. So far, so good. Thanks guys for sticking this out. But we've got one more topic, and that's the social skills topic. And of course, if you've been following along, everything sort of stacks on itself. The empathy piece that I shared and my experience to develop it has a lot to do with curiosity. And your curiosity has a lot to do with your social skills. And that's the next concept. Here it says, adeptness and inducing desirable responses in others. What do you know? If I'm curious about your day or about what you do or about, let's say, your family, my desirable responses in others would be answers, would be investigating further what you're like, what you're not like. Here it says social skills. There's some concepts underneath. I'll read a couple. Communication, conflict management, building bonds, collaboration, cooperation, influence. Listening openly and sending convincing messages. Initiating or managing change. Working with others towards shared goals. Now you're on the date. The shared goal, I would imagine, is having a good time, having a pleasant time. The shared goal, I would imagine, would be, getting to know somebody, seeing if they're someone that you would want to spend time with, all that stuff. So one thing I do want to share about social skills is that it's going to take practice. This is something you are not born with. It does take practice. So you could be born with a sense of social skills and socializing. You could be born with an idea. It's definitely a tool. It's definitely a skill that needs to be finessed. And it isn't that easy for a lot of people, and that's okay. It's very easy for a lot of people, and that's also very much okay. And what I usually tell my clients when we're working on social skills and, empathy, I want to lean on this curiosity, being able to just have this curious mind to get to know the other person. Obviously, you're going to check yourself on levels of appropriateness. First meeting, first date. I can't ask the more, profound, curious questions right away. I mean, I can. There's no rules on it. However, the most important rule would be leaning back to, let's see, where is it? Conscientiousness, taking responsibility for your personal performance. That's under self-regulation. So if impulsively you push the limits on, so tell me your deepest, darkest secret, and you sort of get, your partner gets taken by surprise like that, you may not get the best feedback. It's high risk. You may get the feedback, and then you'd be left over with that feedback, and then you'd have to carry on and, you know, do something about it. Maybe be more curious about it. But even then, that's a high risk, experience, which, you know, all power to you. Give it a shot. But here in the social skills segment of emotional intelligence, there's a building bonds part of it, and it's nurturing instrumental relationships. And, when you nurture something, you usually think about taking care of it. You usually think about, you know, being mindful of how you treat it. So you definitely want to do that same approach with your social skills, is being mindful of how you treat your social experiences. There's a lot to be said when you're being a bit mindless, not mindful or absent-minded, that you may know that person. You may know that one very blunt friend that just tells it like it is. And you know what? That's okay. They might tell it like it is. That might be comfortable for them. But you also might see how the world responds to that kind of blunt energy. It may not always be taken so well. And some people can tolerate it, some people can't. And again, you're not responsible for the other person's reactions. You're not responsible for the other person's ability to soak in and marinate in the experience. You're only responsible for yourself. Being able to rely on these core competencies, as I'll label them, is practice. And of course, you can't get to number 5 social skills without number 1 of self-awareness. And it's got to build on itself. It definitely has to build on itself. Michael Scott, Dunder Mifflin, Michael Scott. He can be the best example. I think he's got that kind of, that self-awareness issue. You can just watch any episode, any fans of The Office, you can see sort of how these, the lacking in this emotional intelligence plays out for him in some of his relationships, both personal, professional. I think that's a great example. You're also just seeing it on TV, and being in that moment in live action is much, 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 much different, obviously. You want to let yourself simmer in these experiences and then allow this emotional intelligence process to just unfold in front of you. You know, trying not to force anything, but definitely be aware of it. I wanted to share a little bit before we go about that clip art. One of my friends asked me, you know, what was the deal with that? And, you know, what was up with the warning sign experts only? And what I wanted to share real quick. It's a picture from the top of Dave's Run in Mammoth. And it's a picture of just one of the diamond signs. Obviously, you can see it. He was messaging me here. I'll check it out right now. Is it a metaphor? Do we get in our own way? Can we do hard things? And I said, it is what you make of it. And then I said, it's seen as a warning sign, but really it's an invite. And the reason why I have it on there is it's an invite to be an expert, in your life, be an expert in your emotions, to be an expert for your experiences, and to very much use your expertise to, you know, increase the satisfaction in your daily living. So that's a small tidbit on the why I chose that picture. I thought it was pretty interesting. And then again, of course, you know, I've got friends that are very curious about the stuff going on here. So it's cool to get that kind of feedback. And of course, you know, I'm happy to answer any questions. You guys just drop me a line through the app or through the messaging app here. Follow the podcast on Instagram, NotoriousMFT, and, you know, shoot me a direct message there. Thank you guys for tuning in. And of course, thanks for pushing play.